Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up, with me, Julie Hayden. Chuck is down at the Glendale Treasury Chronicle World Headquarters working on some stuff, and hopefully will be joining us later. And I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. We did, as always. Oh, I see he is entering the waiting room. So we're going to talk today again with Ray Garcia, who is fighting the valiant fight, as we all are. And I've joined in and signed the petition trying to save the Colorado Republican Party. And Raymond, I'll kind of outline what happened briefly, and then you can kind of explain. So Ray had got a petition signed by more than 100, roughly 130 members of the Colorado State Central Committee to hold a special meeting to discuss essentially Britterhorn's failed leadership. The fact that she has no money, we should, you know, we want some answers for her about what's happening with the money. We want her to kind of furlough all the paid employees until we figure out what's going on with the money, and then a vote of no confidence. So she has played, she and Secretary Russ Andrews have played word games with the petition and first said, oh, it counts, no, it doesn't count. Then she had a smaller meeting of the state executive committee that's largely controlled by her. But even there, it was a 14-8 vote to not hear Ray's, to not consider Ray's petition, to say it was not valid. But Ray, there is too much at stake here, and I take it you are not giving up.
Absolutely not. Oh, thanks for having me on the show, by the way.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Our pleasure. Thank you for your time.
Yeah. So, I don't know where you want me to start on the whole thing.
So the state executive committee, by a vote of 14-8, said the signatures were not...
Start out from the beginning.
We already did, Chuck.
Why did you put a petition out?
You joined us late. We already did.
Oh, we already did. Well, I'll do it again.
But the executive committee voted narrowly that the signatures aren't valid, so there wasn't going to be a special meeting.
Well, it went all along, you know, party lines, the establishment 14 and the grassroots 8. That's broke down exactly on those lines. It's not as if it was some kind of considered ballot.
Right. And so, Ray, what are you going to do now? Okay, go ahead and explain what happened and then explain what you're going to do now.
The first thing, they tried to challenge it to the executive by saying that the petition that was sent in, because it was sent in on 4 PDFs, wasn't attached. So the signatures that we had, the 137 signatures we had, weren't attached to an actual petition. So they couldn't say that they're part of that petition, and that we only turned in 7 actual signatures, to which then we showed them that that petition was signed on Google Documents, exactly what it was. So they couldn't argue that. So then they changed after that. They changed it to, well, that petition wasn't the petition that Russ Andrews sent out, to which we argued that Russ changed that petition because right. He knew we were collecting signatures.
Right.
Originally, yeah, I call him Fork Tongue Russ.
Yeah.
He originally said, well, I didn't know they were collecting signatures. So we pulled up the email that he sent out that said, yeah, I know that they're collecting signatures. So I had to change the. He's like, we couldn't let you guys get away with that. We knew you guys were doing. So they, Chuck said, it went along the party lines in the Democrat faction of our party, right. All sided with them. So right after that, I sent in a, I challenged it. It's a, God dang it, I can't remember the word. Come on, appeal. Chuck, help me out here.
You appealed it to the SEC?
Appeal. Thank you, Chuck. Couldn't think of the word appeal. So I appealed to the SEC, and I sent in an email to Britta, Russ, Richard, and said that I'm appealing this and I want it heard. Never heard back from them. After a week, I sent another email saying, you guys can't sit on this. I'm waiting to email saying that, oh, well, you're into the spam folder. So we didn't see it until just now, and we'll get on the process. And I'm like, well, that's interesting because I was responding to your email that you
Right.
go to a spam folder when you sent me the original email.
Well, let me clarify for folks that this is not, Ray isn't just making this up out of the blue. This is, he's operating per party bylaws. The bylaws say you have the right to appeal to the entire SEC body. The reason Britta doesn't want to do that is I think she suspects, and I think she's right, she might lose there. So she wants to do everything she can, like, oh, it went in our spam folder. Our dog ate it. Oh no, oh, my internet was down. She's doing everything she can. So have you heard? So you have the right to appeal it to the SEC. I guess they got it out of their spam folder. Have they set a meeting date, or have they told you
We
what
still
happened?
haven't. They're still delaying and just postponing and not doing anything with it. And I've sent several emails saying that you can't delay this. You have to set this meeting. And I said, I want it by July. I mean, excuse me, by January. So
Right.
they're just ignoring me and not doing anything. Now, isn't it interesting when they had their fake meetings and their when they're in the failed illegal coup crew that they had, everything they did was 100% wrong. They did it, and purposefully they did it wrong because they wanted us to challenge, and they wanted to go around the system and
Right.
do it their own way so that they could have their judges and their people and none of our people. So they wanted it that way so that they could just claim that they won, which
Right.
that's exactly what they did. We're
Right.
doing it the exact correct way as per the bylaws, and they're using every means they can just to stall, delay. And we're still playing by the rules. You know,
Right.
isn't it funny
Well,
how Democrats never play by the rules and we Republicans always play by the rules?
exactly. Well, and in the meantime, stuff has come out that makes the meeting, this is way more significant, for folks who listen to us a lot than just sort of grassroots versus rhinos. What's happened here is Britta has acknowledged what we first talked about on our show, that she has had to take out a loan. The party is so broke. Not only does it owe hundreds of thousand dollars in legal fees to her attorney, Steve Klenda, who she refuses to acknowledge was fired, but I mean, she can't raise any money. She acknowledged she made like some 300 some phone calls and couldn't raise a dime. And so the party is in, it's in more than disarray.
Well,
It's
no, she said it's not a loan, it's a revolving line of credit.
revolving credit.
Yeah,
Which is a
oh, that's
loan.
totally different, totally
Try
different.
telling your credit card company, oh, well, this isn't a loan. I don't have to pay this much. But we have the state, as I keep saying, we have the state assembly coming up where we select the candidates in the caucus. So there's all kinds of things. I mean, even under KBB, much as we didn't disagree, much as we disagreed with a lot of what she did, she at least held the meeting, right? And she paid for the meeting and she had the venue. You can't just get a venue for 5,000, 4,000 people for free, nor can you get it the last. I mean, we're running out of time to get our candidates selected and elected. Counties need time to plan. And I mean, we've heard from party insiders that she has zero plans. And even if she did have any plans, she has zero money. I mean, we need to address these issues. And we need to, if she's not going to handle it, we need to get somebody in who will, right? And that's why
But doesn't
your
it?
position is so crucial.
Yeah, but doesn't it make sense when, if you look at it, like it's not that she is incompetent. I think she has a plan that is not what we think. I think her plan is to not do an assembly, not have caucus. She's going to push this along and delay us, and to the point, and put us so far in debt, and spend all the money so not we're not only broke, but we're in debt, so that when she steps down and leaves saying that, you know, nobody will work with me, so I'm done, I'm quitting, and leaves the party destitute, we won't be able to have a state assembly because we won't be able to plan it in time, we won't be able to have the money in time. This is her plan. You know, this is what she wants to happen.
And I suspect that we've said that before. I suspect that you are right. This is not just, I think she's incompetent, but I think that this is all by design. And that's why it is so important. I mean, the issues that you're asking, it's particularly once she acknowledged that she took out a revolving line of credit. I think the people, the leadership of the Colorado Republican Party and just the members of the party have a right to know, well, what are the terms of this revolving line of credit? If you can't pay for it now, how are you going to pay for it later? Why have you been completely unable to raise funds? I mean, there just are so many questions And that she needs to answer. And as you said, the fact that she keeps putting it off, and you know, that's ridiculous. It went into their spam folder. Like they wouldn't know that you were going to do this, right?
Oh yeah. It's comical. It's comical and sad.
But would you say, am I exaggerating when I say, but the future of the party is at stake here? If we don't get this resolved, I don't know where we go as a party.
Yeah, you're not exaggerating at all. And so the thing is, when she does pull this final gambit that I think she's trying to play, she thinks that we, so there's an old saying, if you can think like your enemy, you're a genius. You're a fool if you assume your enemy thinks like you. I think like us and think we're going to do this. When she just pulls the wool out from under us and quits and leaves, we won't have any way of doing it. But she doesn't realize the people that she's dealing with are very resourceful, very intelligent, and we will be able to pull off, even with all the landmines she's put in place here.
Well, do you think she will resign before the State Assembly, or do you think she'll just wait? I mean, technically, I guess the law says they have to hold a state assembly, but I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure she'll continue to brave. I mean, Dave Williams has been gone for almost a year now, right? She'll continue to say who left her, by the way, with money.
Yeah,
She'll continue to say,
$112,000.
yeah, she'll continue to say, well, it's Dave's fault somehow.
Yeah.
And my question is, when do you think these other people? Because I know some of her supporters and the elected officials, the Lauren Boberts, the Gabe Evans, the Barb Kirkmeyers, are elected officials who gave us this disastrous, you know, party leadership by voting her in. Where are they? Because what do they think is going to happen to them if the Republican Party sort of becomes essentially dissolved in Colorado?
Well, you don't think they're behind all this?
Yeah.
Yeah, Barb Kirkmeyer, come on. She wants to have that jungle primary thing. This is the
That's
perfect
right. That's
excuse.
true.
She's going to come in and say, "Oh, we're going to save you. You know, we're going to do all this and we'll save you." That's the whole thing behind it. That's the one pulling the strings. Anschutz, Barb Kirkmeyer, yeah.
You're right. And then they're going to come in and say, okay, the only solution is to have a jungle primary. And fortunately, we've got the bills lined up in the legislature to make that happen. I don't know, Chuck, could they pull it off that quick for 2026 or?
Sure, with the court compliant courts, you know, that assume that rules make any difference, or that the courts will respect the rules. So sure, no problem. I mean, you say, well, could they prevent Donald Trump from being on the ballot? Well, if it's up to Colorado, they could. And the Supreme Court said, yeah, you know, he's an insurrectionist; he can't run.
Now, good point. Well, and this is from Charlene. Isn't the big plan to merge the two parties into the Uniparty and offer up charismatic Manchurian candidates so we'll continue to think we have choices? That's exactly it. That's exactly what's going on, Charlene. It's the Democrats. I'm sure there is a wing of the Democrat Party that's kind of like us, that's like, no, we don't want to do that. But, you know, I think that that is the ultimate plan. And as we've had, I'm going to have to get back on Carl Honiger, who's done extensive work on what happens in other states when they go to jungle primaries. Number one, it comes down to exactly what Charlene says. The billionaires in the back room pick their candidates, all of which they can live with, right? And in every state, it ends up, and it will in Colorado too, being a Democrat. It'll be a Democrat. And I go back to when Jared Polis was elected and Phil Anschutz and his media people said, hey, we can work with Polis. Well, look what that got us, right? So, Ray, how do you push this then? I mean, is there a deadline that she has to have? Or once again, are we going to be forced to go to the courts to ask the party, to force the party to do what it should be doing?
Yeah, that's exactly what she wants. She wants us to go to the courts because it'll take longer time.
Okay.
So that's her whole plan is to delay. And that's what she's planning on. That's what she's doing is delaying.
Wow. So how do you fight this? I mean, do you just by kind of being vocal about it, or what's your plan?
Well, I'm fighting it with the appeals and all that, and we are also fighting it. If you've seen where Jeremy Goodall put out a new petition. Now he's going by the bylaws
Right.
that yeah, so we can just get not unanimous majority consent by all the members of the SCC in writing, and we can push it through without having a meeting, without having any of the special meeting. So all we have to have is
Oh, we could
half.
just vote. Okay, we could just vote on it, right?
Yeah, we can vote on it outside of a meeting. So
Well,
he put out. Yeah, he
Right.
put out a petition for that, and you can go online and sign the petition. It's on Google Docs, so you can go on and sign it. We need full half of the SEC to sign it, and then we can push it through without going through Britta.
I already signed it. But what do we do? Then we're kind of back to the same dilemma. What if she refuses to recognize it, right?
Once again, courts, yeah. And
Yeah.
that's what she wants is courts.
Well, let me ask, is there anything people, because I don't want to keep you too long, is there anything people can do to help you or just kind of help keep spreading the word? It's like, look, this is a dire situation and she is intentionally sinking the ship.
Yeah, you know what? Best thing you can do is join Colorado Hispanic Republicans. The chairman of the Colorado Hispanic Republicans. Help us out because we're fighting this fight, and there's a very few of us that are fighting all the battle, and we need everybody's help because it's hard to do all the work by yourself, you know?
Right. No. And you guys throw a heck of a Christmas party too. I know because we've been to that before. So,
Yeah, but I told you guys that about that. We're having this time we're going to do in January, we're going to do a casino night.
yes. Yes. All right. You'll have to come back and talk about that too. Well, Ray, thank you for coming on and thank you for updating us
Yeah, and
and
all
thank
the
you.
hard work you're doing and all the great stuff that Colorado Hispanic Republicans are doing. I mean, that's just, you guys are a great organization.
Thank you. Thank you. You guys, we're trying.
All right. Okay, Ray, thank you very much. You're breaking up a little bit too, so perfect time to let you go. That's Raymond Garcia, chair of the Colorado Hispanic Republicans on the fight. Hey, and Chuck, so I'm gonna, there's breaking news that I tried to call and tell you about, but you were busy. So I'll just break it here. But regarding, there was another lawsuit, right? You guys have heard us talk a lot about Cody LeBlanc filed a lawsuit. Basically, asking the court to tell Britta that the Republicans opted out of the open primary and they voted at the state central committee meeting to fire Clenda. The judge issued a ruling, I think late Friday or just late last week, in which he said that basically what he said was is that Cody had a legitimate controversy, that the controversies that Cody was raising were legitimate issues. However, that he, as the judge, did not have jurisdiction over the issues. But just today, Chuck, I found out that Cody did file an appeal with the Colorado Supreme Court about that too.
Oh, good. That's good news.
Yeah, so that's good news. And to explain that to folks why this is significant, Britta and Clenda had been arguing that Cody had, this is where Britta, remember, she lied in her affidavit. She said that, Clenda wasn't fired. And so then Cody produced the videotape of the meeting where she said, oh, yeah, he's fired. She lied in her affidavit, said, oh, now that I've seen the video, I don't remember that. But if I did, I didn't say it, even if that's what the videotape shows. So the judge ruled that Cody, how do I say it? The judge didn't really rule on the merit of the issues on either side, but he did go out of his way to point out that the issues that Cody was raising were legitimate issues, controversies is what they call them, that the state central committee had the right to hear. He simply said he, as a judge, was not the party to hear it, that it should go to the state central committee. Now, the other thing that's kind of good about this is reading between the lines, the judge didn't call it a frivolous, malicious, vindictive lawsuit, anything like that. One of the key things is Clenda was seeking attorney's fees, and that's because Britta's only fundraising mechanism anymore is seeking attorney fees, right, from grassroots people who are being forced to sue her. And Chuck, you're more a lawyer than me, and certainly a judge could do anything, but kind of reading between the lines and looking at the way the judge ruled and how he ruled, it doesn't appear that it's that if you're Clenda, you can't be going, oh yeah, we got that attorney's fees in the bank. It doesn't appear that that's
I'd be shocked if you got attorney's fees.
right,
I'm sure.
which means once again, so now hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt over this, right? And Cody, thankfully, has no appeal at the Supreme Court. Because what do you do? And Chuck, you're the lawyer here. I understand the judge, says, okay, this is not this is a controversy, but I'm not the one who needs to hear this. But what do you do, as we've seen with Raymond, when you have a state party leader who refuses to accept the will of the body? I mean, you have no other recourse but the courts then.
Well, that's a really good point, Julie. I mean, it's the saying, there's this Lowry case from 1904 that says the party decides its own disputes. But if you have a chair who's failing to follow any of the rules and regulations, then what What stops them from just being a dictator? You can just say, I'm not going to obey any rules. I'm not going to do anything you say. I'm just going to do whatever I want to, and I'll deny all your controversies. I mean,
And even when I lose,
the Lowry case did not, you got to let the party decide, but you can't just have rogue people like Rita Horn who just ignore votes, they ignore virtually everything.
right. Well, then Charlene says, can they vote Britta out? It's like, yes, they can, Charlene. And that's kind of what Raymond's petition seeks to do with the vote of no confidence. But what do you do? But they have to hold the vote, right? They have to, and that's the other way they were trying to go with Jeremy Goodall's thing. But you have to, number one, hold the vote, and that's the point. She's refusing to hold the vote. And then, so you got to assume that if we hold the vote through Jeremy's procedure, she will ignore it. I mean, we fired Clenda. I don't know. I just it is it's a frustrating situation. And again, it's not it's much deeper anymore than just grassroots versus rhinos. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say the future of the party is at stake here, because if we don't hold the caucus and assembly, and we've talked before about the issues with the caucuses and liability potentials under this new law with anti-discrimination and CADA and ADA requirements. There's a lot of stuff going on out there that Britta is just letting, she's ignoring it, right? And
Well, it's the Colorado Republican Party is dying. That's what it's doing.
right. And we're trying to save it, guys. We're trying to save it. So we will keep you posted. I'm glad that Cody filed that with this Colorado Supreme Court. Now, who knows? This, remember, as you pointed out, this is a Colorado Supreme Court that said Trump couldn't be on the ballot. So,
We got a good chance.
we're not going to hold our breath there, but at least he's going through the motions. And at the very least, you can't give up, right? There's no other option. You can't just say, oh, well, goodbye, Colorado Republican Party. You got to keep fighting.
Yeah, it's great that all these guys, Raymond Garcia, Cody, so many others are doing such a
Jeremy,
great job
Eric
with
Grossman, yeah, all
Eric
of those.
Grossman is another one, yeah.
Right. Well, and and I'm going to kind of turn. We're going to turn to something else. Is it okay if we switch gears here, Chuck?
Sure.
Something else I wanted to talk about. Sometimes it takes a long time, but truth comes out. The mainstream media is downplaying this, but if you follow Alex Berenson on X, he was a former New York Times reporter who's done throughout the whole COVID thing just a great job on COVID and the pharmaceutical companies and things. So the FDA put out a memo last Friday pointing out that the Moderna COVID-19 mRNA vaccine, they have linked that vaccine to at least 10 child deaths and likely many more. The FDA said they acknowledge that the COVID-19 vaccines killed healthy American children, healthy children who were forced, who faced, healthy children who faced tremendously low risk of death were coerced into getting the COVID-19 vaccine. And then asked, did the COVID vaccine program kill more healthy children than it saved? So this is, and Alex Berenson has been screaming this. And now NBC is saying, well, in Moderna, but I know Moderna had a study that they hid where a kid died after getting the vaccine. And this FDA memo, it hasn't been peer reviewed. It's like peer reviewed by who? Moderna? Give me a freaking break,
Peer review. They love peer review.
Exactly. And so I think this is the kind of thing, the mainstream media, which was complicit in all of this, that's just think of it a second. So they forced American families, if you wanted your kid to go to some schools, if you wanted your kid to participate in stuff, you were forced to get your kid a COVID-19, the mRNA vaccine, which now the FDA is acknowledging killed children. Other completely healthy children. The only reason they died was because they were forced to get this vaccine. To me, that's one of the, and that's not even go into maybe healthy adults or elderly people. That's not even go into the cost, societal costs and educational costs of locking down and the 6 feet rule. And you had to live in different rooms from your house with your children if you had COVID. All the ridiculousness. This is just direct evidence that the vaccine itself killed children. I don't know how you get a bigger scandal than that.
I don't either. Well, the probably
Well,
is, but it's quite frankly, it's not a shock. Anytime you have any kind of vaccine and shoot things in the people's bodies, there's a risk of 10 children is a very small percent, but as you kind of indicated, there are probably a lot more that died
Well, yeah,
as
these are
a
10. I
result of it.
mean, this isn't just some random number that they assigned. These are 10 specific cases that they can point to, right? That the FDA has. And then
And
Alex.
nothing, and Moderna was held, free from liability.
That's right.
Of course, Fauci was found to, he was given an auto-pen pardon.
For what one has to wonder. Well, yeah, and then Alex Berenson notes, I mean, what's even worse about this, that when they were doing some of the testing and the clinical trials, a 10-year-old died, not one of the ones the FDA is talking about, and they knew it and then covered it up. So I think the FDA point is very well. I mean, this is just 10 that we have documentation for and we can directly link, right? I mean, who knows how many more children were injured, were sick, who many, I mean, just the
Well, and
outrageousness
they
of.
still recommend that kids over the age of, I forget what it is, 6 months or a year, that they take this COVID shot that's killing them.
Right. Well, and apparently, according to Alex Berenson, the FDA is going to be putting out, they call it like a black box, something or other, but they're going to be putting something out, like taking that recommendation away. And actually, I think recommending that they don't actually get it. And I think a lot of parents have figured this out anyway, was looking at some statistics that showed hardly anyone last year got the COVID vaccine for their kids, and even fewer, like two people.
Well, I mean, let's face it, the ones who are doing it would be Democrats, so maybe you ought to encourage more participation by,
Sort of a Darwinian kind of thing, right? But I mean, when you
they're
think
dumb
of,
enough to listen to the government.
well, and they did it all in an attempt to control us, right? And then anyone like us, we were kicked off of YouTube for raising questions about the way that the COVID mandates were making us handle children, raising the question, like Jared Polis actually even raised, really, do kids need to be wearing masks all the time? It doesn't do any good, right? And they kicked us off of YouTube for being a danger to society. Well, the danger to
Oh no, we
society.
violated their community standards.
Well, and we were a danger to the community, right?
Oh
And
no, we just violated the standards. They
the
didn't
reason.
accuse us of being a danger. We just violated them.
No, that was a standard that we violated.
Oh, okay.
They
We're
violated.
dangerous.
We were a danger to the community.
Well, we
Our
are. Yeah,
shows
that's
were,
fair.
but the real danger to the community. So, was the government, and Anthony Fauci and the pharmaceutical companies who were, as you pointed out brilliantly, have been given, they're immune from any kind of prosecution about it. So, I don't know. Do you think it'll go someplace, or do you think that the media, there are enough deep state people who are complicit in this that they'll just kind of be like, oh, well, too bad, so sad.
I think no one will be held responsible for this, for Russiagate, for the many other gates that are in there. I just, the Democrats are always a step ahead of the Republicans. At the end of Biden's term, they had a really large number of still vacant court appointments for judicial judges. And the Democrats came to the Republicans and said, look, you pass all of our district court judges, I don't know how, it's a lot, 40 or something. And we'll let you have these seven appellate ones, or 10, wherever it was. And so they're, oh, good, appellate courts, we'll get that. So they passed the 40, and then all the Democrat judges who had said they were going to retire, unretired. So they only had two or three. So, I mean, the Republicans are just always loosey holding the ball, always. And that's why. The one thing I'll say about Donald Trump, they had before the shutdown of the government, they were dealing with Schumer and all that, and the Republicans were trying to give away the farm. And Trump said, no, negotiations are off. And in the end, he won. I mean, we ended up, not giving him, the AID back, not giving $1.7 trillion of this and that. And no guaranteed extra Obamacare subsidies that seem to be the Democrats' favorite free money. So it's kind of interesting. I mean, we've got more approaching a midterm, in which is not looking good for Republicans. And I never get Republicans anyway. They don't vote during for these by-elections. There's one tomorrow in Tennessee. In the 7th district, it's about a 10-point Republican advantage on the districts, the plus 10, and the Republican candidates leading by 1 or 2 percentage points. So it'll be really interesting to see how that turns out tomorrow.
Right. Well, here's, and that kind of segues into something else I wanted to talk about. And that is, we all know that you need to, when you watch NBC, when you watch MS Now, when read the Denver Post, right? It's when Kyle Clark, right? We all know when you're looking at the legacy media that they have this incredible liberal bias. And for a while, I think the conservative media and the conservative influencers were sort of, even those who maybe didn't like Trump, were forced to be united behind Trump because he was so popular. And so you knew to be skeptical whenever you read the liberal media stuff. I think I'm beginning to sense a similar kind of thing happening, but within the conservative so-called MAGA influencers. We've talked about the infighting. I just noticed lately, for instance, that certain, like Daily Caller, for instance, that's a website I look at all the time, is more anti-Trump lately. I'm seeing Fox News with some
Well, certainly the
anti-Trump.
Wall Street Journal is,
Yeah, I mean,
which
you
is
would,
owned by Murdoch.
and you look at Miranda Devine, and I don't know what the truth is here, but Miranda Devine at the New York Post has a whole kind of, I mean, one could call it a hit piece on Kash Patel and Dan Bongino. And she's quoting FBI agents. Now, I don't know who's right or wrong. I'm just saying that I'm noticing a clearly a lack of unity in the conservative thing. And I think this is all leading up to, if you're a candidate, if you're, you got your JD Vances, you got your Ted Cruz and your Ron DeSantis, and who else knows, the Bush family is coming out of the woodwork all of a sudden again, right? People are now in the Republican Party looking at 2028 and the upcoming presidential, well, not upcoming, but the soon to be upcoming presidential election. And I think lines are being drawn here. And I think you're seeing that in the various media where they're fighting, you're MAGA, no, I'm MAGA, you're not MAGA. All of that, I think, is deliberate as these lines are being drawn. And I guess what I'm saying is when I'm reading the Miranda Devine thing, normally I would read Miranda Devine at the New York Post because she's been great. It was like,
Absolutely,
yeah, I mean, she
absolutely.
was a Hunter Biden laptop story, right? But
Right.
all of a sudden, she's talking about, how did she call it? It was weirdly worded. It wasn't an FBI report, but it was a FBI report style kind of thing, where she's quoting FBI agents who talk about what a jerk and what a loser and how chaotic Kash Patel is. Well, the first thing I'm thinking is, well, all of the, and the, granted, I'm not saying Kash Patel is doing a great job, but I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a minute. Who trusts an FBI agent these days, right?
Yeah,
It's
right.
like, what? So, which? So, has she found like the three or four FBI agents in the whole agency that can be trusted? And who's feeding her this? And why are they feeding her this? I mean, I think that there is a clear, I mean, and it's, and again, the New York Post is owned by, it's owned by, is that owned by Salem?
No, New York Post is owned by Rupert Murdoch.
Rupert Murdoch. Okay, you're right. Along with Fox and so and we know Rupert Murdoch and the Murdoch family is not necessarily all on Trump's side.
Oh, they
So,
were all for Ron DeSantis until he kind of
until it,
blew himself up.
right. And so all of a sudden you're seeing all this stuff kind of undermining Trump or working coming from conservative organizations or media and conservative influencers. And I'm just saying this, that's what I think is happening. I think behind the scenes, lines are being drawn and people are being pulled into, no one's contacted us and we're totally bribable, I would just point out. But
We keep on, putting it out there, and they just
yeah, and I
listen.
don't know, you guys like Charlene or some of you guys out there, I don't know if you've noticed this, but just pay attention. And it just seems to me that, just when you thought it was safe to trust some sort of media organization, you got to realize, no, it's not. And I think it's important to kind of figure out, well, wait a minute, why all of a sudden is Miranda Devine going after Kash Patel? Not that she should, and if there's a story there, but it just seemed odd to me. And I've just been noticing more like that. Oh, people thought, this is from Charlene, people thought Trump was playing 3D chess, but results show he's taking MAGA deep into the NYO, something Hillary or Biden could never do. What do you mean that, and what's NYO? NWO.
NWO,
Yeah.
I give up.
I don't know, Charlene, I don't know what, oh, New World, oh, the New World Order. Okay, well, here's, I'm gonna throw this out then too, Charlene, and see what you think of this, and you guys, there was another interesting theory by the conservative treehouse guy, Sundance, so I really like. And he was talking about the negotiations and the diplomacy going on with Russia. And his theory, and I'm going to explain it very broadly, but is that Trump, to a certain extent, is trying to establish a new world order, but it's actually the old world order by getting rid of some of these globalist organizations, by sort of restructuring the global economy. And he's doing it through tariffs. He's doing it by negotiating with Russia. For instance, apparently today, Trump is talking about one of the things they do is let go of the sanctions against Russia. And the European Union said, we will never drop the sanctions against Russia. And then the conservative treehouse pointed out, great, because then you become total broke losers without any energy. And his theory, if I'm reading it correctly, is that what Trump is doing is he's playing a broader, on all of this attention in the international world, is he is trying to, I guess, I don't want to say realign, but sort of go back to a place where the countries, manufactured and controlled their own economies, where we worked with countries, economically speaking, not because they were for Green New Deals, but because it was economically advantageous to us to do that, where we had economic deals and tariffs and things like that, not because we were trying to nation build, but because it was economically advantageous for us and economically advantageous for them. His theory is that a lot of this, Epstein file stuff, Kash Patel stuff, is shiny objects that the media wants to talk about. And Trump is, in his own way, trying to restructure things. Because if the United States and Russia can form a mutually beneficial economic alliance, I mean, the EU is totally screwed there. And the EU is like, headquarters for the globalist New World Order people. So I don't know. What do you think? I mean,
Well,
oh, go
there's,
ahead, Charlene. Go ahead, chime
oh
in.
yeah. Well, I was just saying that I was just thinking. I've been real disappointed in Trump, particularly with Tina Peters, and they can take her into federal custody by opening up a election case against Colorado in 2020, and she can be their witness and survive the winter. We got to get her out of that prison,
I think so.
and
Although I will say it's not that easy. I mean, they can't send U.S. Marshals to the Department of
No,
Corrections there.
but there's several. I mean, there's several ways to get her in there,
Yes.
but the easiest way, all the experts are saying on the Bannon War Room,
Right.
is that have her as a federal witness. And in order to do that, they have to have a case opened in which a county clerk can testify in a federal election. And she was county clerk in Mesa County during the federal election 2020.
Right.
So they can do that, and it's a temporary
Right.
custody. It's
But they
not
can
a
at least get her out of there.
pardon, a
Yes.
right, but it will give her an opportunity to recuperate. Because what really bothers me is that she's 70, and older people get cold,
Right.
and they won't allow her extra clothes because people could smuggle things in through a scarf or whatever. And so she's just having to act like one of the typical 30-year-olds in prison. You see what I mean?
Right.
And so I think Trump has really dropped the ball. And it's not Trump, it's the two people that are in command at the DOG now, DOJ, I mean, are actually former Democrats. And Abani just flies up for press conferences and appearances on, news
Right.
shows. But they're really, those two are in charge, and they're blocking it. They've dropped the ball on it.
Well, and
And so he's losing. Trump, I mean, Trump has really lost me. And and I'm a ardent three-time supporter,
Right. Well, and you raise some good points.
like I'm a like a groupie for Trump, I mean, so for years. And so I just feel like he's losing people. And the only hope I have is that what they feed us in the media is just for our perception. It's a narrative to keep the masses in, controlled, and keep us doing what we're supposed to do, so that the people that run this whole show can keep grifting. And so I think, my hope is that Trump sees all that, and that he's like, he could be cooed anytime, cooed in many ways. And he's got to play the game, and he's actually got to let them think he's with them. I mean, if you ever watch some of these coups that take place, the Enlightenment conducted a lot of coups against the church, during the Middle Ages. And there's several TV shows about them, like the King of Denmark and how they got cooed by the Enlightenment. And they actually have to pretend to be going along with their coosters in order to, you know, bring in enough support to withstand it. And so that's my hope, is that Trump is just pretending to go along with all this until he can get enough strength and power from different countries to resist. And the powers that be are much bigger than what we think. It's not Democrats versus Republicans.
I know, I agree with you.
Those are the two parties that are created in order to divide the masses. That's what they're created for. It's the ruling elite for centuries that have ruled the world, and they're not going to give it up. And I'm hoping that he sees all that, because he's been an international figure for years, and you know
he's doing his best to work around it.
But does any of what I said make sense to you?
Yes, it does. I that's my hope too, because you're right, certain things he does, and that's what this treehouse guy was sort of saying, this, that one of the things he's doing is, in order to undermine them economically, the New World Order, you know, if the United States and Russia, if he can make some of these deals that, you know, and again, and if the EU wants to say, oh, we're not going to lift the sanctions, they'll be like, okay, well, you're going to get your oil then. Everyone else in the universe will have cheap oil and gas.
So I think he's going to be relying on alliances like Russia, but he's got to get him in, and he's got to pretend like he's not with Russia. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then the thought is too, he may not be with Russia. He may be totally with the warmongers that have made him an offer he cannot refuse, because in the end, in the final analysis, everybody's going to choose their family. You know, they're going to choose their family. And so he's got a lot of family to protect. So
thanks, Charlene. Appreciate it.
Okay. No, that's a good point. You know, and one thing too, I want to say about the Tina Peters, you know, you got to wonder, the reaction to Trump saying, you know, give us Tina Peters is so overboard. Everybody and their mother is against it. People are shouting and screaming against it. It's like, you know, Jimmy Sangenberger. I mean, it's kind of like the answered media industrial complex. It's like, what, do you know what I mean? It's like the screaming and hollering, the County Clerks Association, all of this, the screaming and hollering about, you know, we cannot ask any questions or have any new information about Tina Peters. That has to be shut down immediately. I do find that kind of, that makes me suspicious, right? It's kind of like, really, in the overall scheme of what's going on in this country and in this state and in this world, that everyone is taking so much time to make sure that nobody talks about Tina Peters and they don't let her go. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. To me, it just seems a little bit overblown. I do know why, because I think Tina Peters has answers and she has evidence, and they just don't want that to come out in any way, shape, or form. And anything they can do to shut that down, they need to go back to the election deniers to try to make people stop asking questions about the election.
Well, do you think that, you know, I said what I thought. I didn't think anybody would be, not Comey, not Brennan, not Obama, not Fauci, not, you know. In the end, none of them will be held liable for anything.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't, you know, I don't think it's going to be for lack of trying on the Trump administration's part.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But you're dealing with the judicial system that just won't let it happen. You know, you already had the one throw out and said, oh, she wasn't properly appointed, so we can't file it. I think we're going to just see games like that. But I'm in a way, I'm okay with that. At least they're trying, right? I'd rather at least have them try. And and Charlene says Epstein cover up and kicking Marjorie Taylor Greene. That was strange. I don't know. Marjorie Taylor Greene seemed to, like, I think, quit liking Trump. I don't know. The Marjorie Taylor Greene one, I don't really, that seems to be.
You know, we met Marjorie Taylor Greene down at El Paso Lincoln at dinner. I really liked her, but she wasn't made for politics.
I mean, but again, my main message, I think, is, and this is what I'm noticing, is, you know, just be careful, not be careful, but when you listen and you read stuff, take a look at just what are the other articles on the site and what's the slant? Because I'm just beginning to notice slanting anyway, where there didn't used to be. And again, you look at this sort of the debates and the arguments between the influencers, a lot of that is clickbait, I think. But I also think people are lining up Because, Trump, he's not lame duck exactly, but who's going to come after Trump? There is not going to be another Trump, right? And the only question is how much is this party going to go back to being the uniparty, and how much are we going to be able to preserve some of the work we've made? And that's why I think some of these deals that Trump is making with other countries and some of these economic things he's doing are very significant, because those are the kind of things that the economy is rolling along that somebody like a Ron DeSantis or a, J.D. Powell or Ted Cruz, for that matter, any of them, are not going to be, it's not going to be the first thing they do when they come into office to say, oh, I'm going to put the Russian sanctions back in place. You know what I mean, Chuck?
Well, I don't think they are either, but it's going to be an interesting 3 or 4 months up till you really get to the midterm. And I think the Republican Party divides up into three different groups. One are the MAGA MAGAs, and I consider you and I MAGA MAGAs. I mean, very much on the populist wing of the MAGA Party, more so than even Trump. I mean, we're more, the H-1B visas and everything else. We think, the corporations don't need to rip off every college graduate in the United States. Then there's the Zionist neocon element that wants to get us into all kinds of wars. And their allies, but a separate group, are the kind of the bushy Chamber of Commerce people that really just, they have their international corporations and they want their trough fed. And they're natural allies with the Israeli lobby. But so I think those three will be clashing, and the only real beneficiary will be the Democrats, who have their own clashing of the socialist Democrats versus the more, traditional liberals.
Right. Well, in a way, and we've talked about this before, that the populist Republican wing is very similar to the populist Democrat wing. I mean, their ideas of how to fix things are different, but it is there is that very definite group there. And I think you're right. I think that's the kind of thing we're going to see playing out. And I think that's why in Colorado, back to the very beginning, that's why it's important that people, we're so grateful to people like Ray and all those people who are fighting the fight to try to keep. From Charlene, I agree. Occupy Wall Street and the Tea Parties are closer than any groups.
I think, Anschutz represents the corporate element again, the George Bush corporate element. And then we've got the rest of us who have no real money.
We don't even have fake money, Chuck.
We don't even have fake money. So it's going to be an interesting battle. You want to be optimistic. You hope that the good people win. And so we'll just be that.
We'll just be optimistic.
Yeah.
Well, hey, listen, and on that optimistic note, we can wrap up today. Why don't you know on Wednesday, and we talked to him before, I believe, Michael Finch, he's with the David Horowitz Freedom Center. We talked to him before about his new book. Well, it's out, so we're going to talk to him again because he was
He's great. Guest. He's just great.
Yeah. A Time to Stand, The Dire Hour to Defend American Beauty. So he'll be on Wednesday, too, along with, who knows? I mean, what will happen between now and Wednesday? You never know. But that'll do
All
it,
right.
Everybody. We will see you on Wednesday.
Take care, everyone.